So if you will, go ahead and stand and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Appreciate Pastor Mike asking me to minister tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, I thank you, God, for this word. I thank you that it is already inspired and anointed. And God, I ask that you would touch me tonight as I minister, that the anointing would rest heavily. God, that you would help me to say what you want me to say, no more, no less. Prepare every heart to receive this word, and God, we give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Titled this message tonight, Death by Apathy. Death by Apathy. Hang on just a second, because I can tell I'm going to need a drink before I even get started here. Death by apathy. Apathy. It's a word we hear a lot. It's something that none of us want to be accused of being apathetic, because apathy means a lack of feeling, a lack of emotion, interest, enthusiasm, or concern. I read an article the other day by a lady named Karen Ordahl Kupperman called Apathy and Death in Early Jamestown. And in this article, she defined apathy as symbolic death, a deep sense of melancholy that indicates that a person no longer strives for self-preservation. And this is going to seem like a little bit of a history lesson, but as I set the groundwork for this, just be patient. Because what she wrote, as she began to compare the early days of Jamestown, and she began to draw some similarities between Jamestown and the Korean War, and as I was reading through this, I could see similarities of the modern day church through Jamestown and through the Korean War. So just be patient as I set the groundwork on this. Between 1607 and 1624, there were more than 6,000 people who relocated to Jamestown. Near the end of that time, around 1622, the Indians began to feel threatened because of the colony at Jamestown was growing. And so they raided the plantations along the James River, killing 347 colonists. Now, I'm sure that when the colonists first stepped off the boat, they were probably excited at the prospect of starting a new life, building a new life for themselves. But that excitement, I'm sure, was quickly washed away whenever they realized just how hard it was going to be to establish a new life. After the Indian attack, the fear gripped them, and they were afraid to leave the settlement. They had been attacked once. They didn't want to be attacked again. They did not want to put themselves in harm's way. So basically, they became prisoners in their own settlement because they were afraid to confront the Indians if they went out to hunt and gather food. The year after the Indian raid, the death rate in Jamestown was twice the number that was actually killed by the Indians. Get this, fear of the enemy caused more death than the enemy itself. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear of the enemy caused more deaths than the actual enemy caused. Because they could not get out and get the food that they needed, they began to suffer from malnutrition. They became weak, they became sickly, which led to apathy. They felt discouraged, they felt helpless, they felt hopeless, which led to more apathy. These colonists did not know if there was ever going to be a time that they were going to be able to venture out of their settlement. Isolation and despair about the future began to take a toll on them. which fueled the apathy even more. This led to idleness and inactivity. It was easier for them to sit there and do nothing than it was to do something about their situation. Death by apathy. The situation became so bad, they were so idle and so lazy that they refused to work or to even do what it would take just to survive. 6,000 relocated between 1607, 1624, and the next year, 1625, there were only 1,200 of them left. Why? Because of apathy. Why? Because of fear. Virtually every writer who has written about Jamestown places laziness, idleness, and apathy at the top of the list for the reasons of the situation there with all of the deaths. One man wrote that they would rather starve in idleness than feast in labor. And I'll say it again because this has a spiritual twist to it. They would rather starve in idleness than feast in labor. Death by apathy. John Smith, who was there, played a large role in establishing the settlement, said that this is not the normal kind of lazy. He said most of our chief men, our leaders, are sick, discontent, and they are in such despair that they would rather starve and rot with idleness than be persuaded to do anything about it. The article, as I said, compared conditions of Korea, the POWs in Korea, where these prisoners were also malnourished because they didn't like the food they were being fed. Sometimes we don't like the food we're being fed when the preacher stands and preaches the word. That's not for me. I don't like it. I don't like how I feel when conviction starts to set in, so we just won't eat at all. One of the deliberate tactics of the soldiers there in Korea was to keep the prisoners in tight quarters, idle and inactive, in an effort to destroy their morale. And it worked. It worked. The POWs didn't know when or if they would ever be delivered. For all they knew, they were going to die right there in that prison camp. The men became so indifferent, so apathetic, that it brought about a lack of concern, not just for themselves, but for each other. Clarence Anderson was a medical doctor who was also a POW in Korea, and he reported that the able-bodied men in the prison camps refused to care for their own sick and wounded, but instead the strong would take the food from the weak and they would roll them out into the snow to let them die. I'm going somewhere with this. Apathy within Jamestown settlement led to death. Apathy within the prison camps in Korea and the Korean War led to death. Do we have any reason tonight to believe that apathy in the church will not lead to death as well? Death by apathy. If apathy in the flesh can lead to a physical death, then I believe that apathy in the spirit can lead to a spiritual death. What led to the apathy? Fear of the enemy, malnutrition, isolation, inactivity, hopelessness, and indifference. We don't have to look very hard today, church, to see this in the church world. We don't have to go seek it out because it's right in front of us. And I'm not talking about just right here. We have a good crowd for Sunday night, and I appreciate that. But I'm talking about the church world as a whole. Here and everywhere, every other church, there is apathy that we are looking at, an apathy that we have to contend with. What are the signs of apathy? Decrease in passion and excitement. I'm sure those folks were real excited when they got off that ship, but it didn't take long for all that to die out. If you were once excited when you first got saved and you were just really excited about your walk with God, you were excited when the church doors were open and we have revival, and I'm going to be there every night of revival. You were excited when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. You were excited when you started realizing what your gifts and what your callings were. You were excited to sit down with Pastor and talk to him about how you could use those gifts in the church. You were excited to be a part of the ministries in the church, but after a while, the newness of that relationship begins to wear off. And when you come to a place to where you are no longer excited, you may be looking apathy in the face. Personal time with God has got to take a priority. And when that starts slipping, then you are slipping into apathy. When you come to a place where you're no longer passionate or excited about your relationship with God, then you are sliding into a state of apathy. And apathy leads to death. Second sign, a decrease in concern for others. This is what we saw with the POWs in Korea. When you were first saved, you wanted everybody saved. When you were first filled with the Holy Ghost, you wanted everybody filled with the Holy Ghost. When you were first delivered from that addiction that had you bound for so long, you wanted everybody delivered. You had a burden for those around you. You had concern for people that did not know the Lord or who had a very surface relationship. Because of your love and concern, you used to call and check on people and see how they were doing. You spent time in prayer and fasting, but after a while, you begin to lose that concern about other people. You've got your own problems, and you have neither the time nor the inclination to get involved in anybody else's life. Let Pastor do that. Let the church leaders do that. Sister Diane's really good at that. Let's just let her do that. A decrease in the concern of other people. 3, a decrease in involvement. One time you looked for ways just to get involved in church. You were looking for ways to serve. But now you miss as many services as you can, and any little excuse will work. I know this is not a shouting message. I understand that. But please listen to what I have to say tonight, because this is not me. Death by apathy. This is a serious thing. It's a serious thing for Christians to be looking at apathy and sliding into apathy. Now you dread to see caller ID come up because it might be Pastor asking you to do something. Chris might want you to sing a special. Might need you to work in nursery. I don't want to get involved. Is it really that big of a deal? Is it that big of a deal if I don't want to do anything? Is it that big of a deal if I'm not excited anymore about my walk with God? Is apathy really that big of a deal? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Apathy will lead to death. You become disconnected and you become isolated. And today, people have become isolated in the name of self-preservation because of COVID. And to a lot of people, that has brought apathy and lethargy. And as Brother Hewitt mentioned this morning, you know, there's no substitute for coming together to the house of God. And I thank God for our videos and for live streaming, for people who cannot get up and get out. I thank God that is available. That's a tool we can use to spread the gospel. But there is no substitute for being in the house of God. Don't let the TV and don't let the live stream be the only church that you know. We need each other. We need each other. And when you become so apathetic that you begin to draw back, you isolate yourself, and you become a prime target for Satan. And he will attack you, and he will defeat you if you are not covered. 1 Peter, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, y'all can quote this as well as I can, as a roaring lion, he walks about just seeking somebody to devour. So remain steadfast in the faith. The lion, when he comes to attack, he's not going to attack a whole herd. He's going to find one that is off by itself. That's the easy attack. When the enemy comes after you, he's not going to come to you if you are in a group and if you are covered and if you are praying And if he sees that tight-knit bond that you have with your church family, but when he sees you pull yourself off to the side, and he sees you angry and bitter and isolated, he will attack. You are a prime target. How sad it is when we allow ourselves to become so lazy and slip into apathy, when there is such a great need today for the church to rise up and make a difference in the world that we live in. We're over here with an I don't care attitude, and people are on their way to hell. And it used to stir us, but it does not stir us anymore. I don't care. That's their problem. It's all I can do to take care of myself. It's affecting those who truly need a hand up or a shoulder to lean on, and you're nowhere to be found. So what's another danger? It affects the entire body. It affects the entire body. When one of us is hurt, when one of us is down, Lindsay said the other day, most of y'all know she broke her ankle. She said, Mom, the rest of my body hurts. I said, it's because you are having to use every other muscle in your body to make up for that ankle. Yeah, your arms hurt. The other leg hurts. Your back hurts. And church, when you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing, and I am guilty of this myself. There have been times that I've just pulled myself aside and said, I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do anything. I've worn out my welcome. And that's exactly what God wants us to think. Or what Satan wants us to think. It's right the opposite of what God wants us to think and to believe. That is from the devil and from the pits of hell. It affects the entire body when you fall into a state of apathy. When Nehemiah was overseeing the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, everybody had to pitch in and do their job, but there was one group who refused. One group. And so everybody else had to pull in and make up the difference for that one group. If I become apathetic, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to have to step up and take my spot and do my work for me, or they're going to become apathetic right along with me. What's another danger? Spiritual death. Brother Hewitt mentioned this morning about the virgins in Matthew chapter 25. He talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. And I think we've used that as an example a lot lately. Different preachers, as we've been preaching, we've used that example a lot lately, because we're coming down to that time when we better make sure we've got our oil, and we better make sure that we are ready to go. The five had been too unconcerned and too lazy and too apathetic to make sure that they have oil, and they ended up missing out when the bridegroom came. How horrible. What a horrible thought, to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ and then realize at the last minute that you have been so complacent and apathetic that we don't have everything lined up with God and we miss out. Apathy is a serious thing. And just as it causes death in the physical body, it can lead to spiritual death if we let it continue. So what do we do about it? All right, so I'm guilty. Guilty of apathy. What do I do about it? First thing, admit it. Nobody wants to admit to being lazy. I'm right there with Brother Hewitt. He said this morning one of the things he can't stand is laziness. I'm right there. I can't stand for lazy people. I don't like to work with lazy people. I don't like to be around lazy people. Nobody wants to admit to being lazy and slothful. But if we don't name it what it is, then we won't address it. If you find yourself tonight in a state of apathy, and you can look into your heart and into your spirit and say, you know what? I've been lazy. I know I'm not doing what God's called me to do. Pastor's asked me to do this, and I've said no. I feel God pushing me to do this, and I've told God no. Admit it. Confess it and repent. Once we realize our apathy and admit it, then we need to confess and repent, which is just to turn around and go the other direction. When we ask God for forgiveness, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But we're not done. We ask Him to forgive us. We can't just go crawl back under that juniper tree with Brother Elijah. We got to get out and do something. Come on, don't go right back just say, well, okay, I confessed and I admitted it, and okay, it's all good, and still sit there with your arms folded. Make prayer and Bible study a priority. These are simple things, but they're important things, and these are the things that will keep you. They will keep you. During this end time that we're living in, these are the things that will keep you. Make prayer and Bible study a priority. When we become apathetic, it affects our time with God. We're not as faithful in seeking Him as we should be. We're not as faithful in reading the Word as we should be. We make time for everything else that we want to do. So put time with God at the top of your priority list for this week. I know a lot of you make lists of everything that you have to do on Monday and everything on Tuesday. At the top of that list each day, put time with God. See what a difference that makes. Because that has slipped down in so many of our lives. That has slipped down. I've been guilty. Get so busy and it's the end of the day and I'm like, Lord, I've got to stop. I've got to stop and get alone with You. Don't seek Him half-heartedly. Don't give Him your leftovers. Give Him everything you have. Top of your priority list. We've got to feed our spirit man every day. Even if we don't like what it's saying. Even if we don't like the feeling of conviction. Understand that the Bible is not to condemn you. And that the Holy Ghost does not condemn you. He convicts you. And when you are condemned, you walk away with the feeling of, I can't do this. You walk away feeling helpless and hopeless. But when the Holy Ghost convicts you, you know immediately that there is hope. The Holy Ghost would not convict you if there were not hope for you to come up out of that situation and change. So welcome the conviction of the Holy Ghost. When you read the Word and it hits you hard and you really want to stop reading because it's stepping on your toes, read a little further. Read a little further because it will pull you up out of that apathy. Stir up the gift that God has given you and get busy. That's what Paul told Timothy. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. And He said, you stir up the gift. He didn't say, now Timothy, go and find somebody that's really on fire and let them stir up your gift for you. He said, Timothy, stir up the gift. And tonight I tell you, stir up the gift. I can't stir your gift. I can't do it. But you can. And you can't stir my gift. But I can. The more you use a muscle, the stronger it gets. The more you use that gift, the stronger that gift will become. One writer that was referring to the prisoners of war in the prison camps said two things seemed to save the man close to apathy death. One, get him interested in a current or future situation. Without a vision, yeah, get him interested in a current or future situation. And two, get him on his feet doing something, no matter how trivial. And he said if they were compelled to move around every day, the prisoner would recover from apathy within 10 days. John Smith, he said he forced his colonists at Jamestown to work, and over a period of 9 months only lost 7 or 8 men. Which was a drastic change from a daily loss of dozens of lives. Church, I'm not up here to scold or anything. I'm just saying God's been putting this really, really heavy on my heart lately, and I feel like it really goes with a lot of the messages that God has been laying on people's hearts. He's trying to get us ready. He's trying to keep us strong. He's trying to save us from hell. He told us not to be slothful in business, but to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Get up and do something. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because we will reap if we don't faint. I know this has been a different kind of message tonight, but this is what God has laid on my heart. Brother Chris, Sister Tammy, would y'all come up? Stand if you would. Jeff has a sister I requested prayer for, who is in the final stages. Actually, the word they said was she is in the final stages of actively dying. And I looked that up today. Think about this in the spirit, would you? The symptoms of actively dying: a decrease in appetite. Are you hungry for God like you used to be? Are you still hungry for God? A decrease in appetite. Sleeping more, not alert or responsive. Where are you at? Less social. Pulling away. It's hard to detect a heartbeat. Does your heart still beat strong for God? They become weak. Are you as strong as you need to be in the Lord? The body temperature begins to drop. Are you cold in your spirit? Father, I love you. God, I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your word. God, I've delivered exactly what you told me to deliver to the best of my ability. Prayer team, would you come up, please?